morally unacceptable. Not only in that respect, but when you look at our future economy and the impact that the achievement gap has on that is huge. And I don't think we, as a state, as a committee, when we are spending 40% of the state budget, can go home without telling our folks that we have a serious message. We mean business. We're going to close the achievement gap. And we're going to make sure progress is made towards that. As Representative Mariani just said, we can't just have good intentions and file plans without having some sort of accountability to get there. And so I am willing to look at anything, and I will ask anyone to design something, as long as it sends a clear message that we're going to close the achievement gap, and we can tell our folks back home that we spent $15.7 billion this year, and we're going to make sure that progress is made towards those goals. Make sure progress is made towards those goals, not just good intentions. And so if we can do that, I don't care how we do that. But to say that it is acceptable to have the achievement gap that we have, and I know we're making progress, but I want to be able to go home and say, we're serious about this, and we have something in place that will get us there now. And so how we do that, I don't care. But that the leadership can take this away from me before I leave this session without those goals being met. I refuse to leave this session without assuring that we can make a difference in every kid's lives in this state, today and in the future, starting tomorrow. That achievement gap, that just is unacceptable. And it has such a huge impact. And so I don't know if it's this, Senator Wieger, or something else, but we need to have something in place that we can go home and tell folks we're serious about it and we're going to make sure it gets done. And we're going to start the progress tomorrow. So with that, we'll end that. And like I said, we can still move forward, and I'll still take any suggestions. And I know this is far from perfect, but we've got a day or two at most to put something in place. So thank you.
Is it integration?
Yes. Yep. I think we've got.
We don't have the.
All right. And then what we're going to do is they're copying. We're going to come back and talk about integration and achievement.
We're not going to move anything.
We're not going to move anything, but I think we're going to have a document to pass around, and we'll take some testimony and do that tonight. And that'll be our last order of business, so we have one more thing. I think that's our last. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we've got till 5:30. Okay. We can't meet past midnight anyway, and we're not. We'll be done by whatever.
In an initial meeting where we met with the department, I think our first meeting when we covered integration, we met with department staff, and the department had a particular frame that they wanted to recommend, taking some of our provisions and putting it into a flow that they thought would flow better. What we decided was to have the House and the Senate see if we can tighten up the language that we both had, since the bills were very, very similar, and then have that sort of as a one message to then have the department look at as a consistent message, and then see if their flow might fit relative to what the Senate and the House found agreeable. So the first provision that we do with this, and if you look at the business document, the, what do we call this? The, anyway, it's the, it's not the, the page in my document, but the fuller document. The first thing we do is we go into the school performance, where currently the school performance report cards, those are being changed in the Dahl Briner language to school performance reports, and we're adding into those school report cards, if you will, language that you'll see again later in the integration, achievement integration program. So you'll see it on line 49.9 through 49.13. So identifying the percentage of students whose progress performance levels are meeting career and college readiness benchmarks, longitudinal data on the progress of eligible districts in reducing disparities in students' academic achievement and achieving racial and economic integration. And, of course, the eligible districts are the districts that participate in the integration program under the rule. So we're walking into the school performance report cards in a different section of law to embed the objectives of the integration program. And then if you go down to the bottom, you'll see the full language of the achievement integration program. Our House and Senate tentative agreement. And so the first language is the purpose, where we identify both the pursuit of racial and economic integration and increasing student academic achievement. And so this is the big, you know, shift here, where we're saying that as we modernize this program, we want it to be a program that clearly is focused on racial and economic integration while it's increasing academic achievement. Let's see. Then we define the eligible district, meaning a district that is required to submit a plan to the commissioner under the current integration rule. The next section then goes on to describe what the use of the revenue is for. And again, for academic achievement, racial economic integration. And then we lay out ways in which that shall be done through policy curricula. That you can read the language there, through rigorous career and college readiness programs. None of this is new language. It's just reordered language from what we have in both our House and Senate. Then we next section is the plan components. Describes how a district must mandates an eligible district must develop a comprehensive plan, and then identifies four guidance for those districts components that may be included in such a plan. And again, very similar language to what we had in both the House and the Senate, just a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more orderly. You then go down to the budgeting process. To receive revenue, the eligible district must hold a formal hearing. So there's that theme again, you know, where you've got districts engaging transparently with the public relative to their plans, and sharing those with the general public. And then where we did a lot of kind of reworking and some new language is on the bottom of page 3 in line 70.17, where we identified the longitude of data through which districts are being required to measure progress on their plans. And the way to think about it is that if you remember, it's academic achievement and racial integration. So what we're doing is we're identifying data outcomes that are required for all districts who are participating for each one of those two purposes. So for academic achievement, the longitudinal data required is growth and progress in reading and math as defined. And so this lines up with the new student testing assessment work. But since that work produces instruments that are not applicable for the lower grade, then we're identifying fully adaptive reading and math assessments for grade 3 through 7. So that takes care of the academic achievement required longitudinal data that looks at those secondary outcomes and then those grades 3 through 7 outcomes. And then in order to measure the racial integration outcomes, we're saying districts should use either the number of world language proficiency or high achievement certificates that are currently in statute. This is sort of a little, we passed this maybe 7 years ago. This provision basically recognizes, actually requires the state, but the state's never really done anything with this, requires the state to recognize the native language capacity of non-English-speaking students and reward them with a certificate. So we really want to push this concept along. We note that in school districts all around the state, much of the diversity is being driven by immigrant communities. It's not unusual for many of us to have districts where literally dozens of different languages. I know in St. Paul we've got well over 80, maybe over 90 different languages being spoken. So, again, this is aligning both to that existing piece of statute as well as to this emerging racial and cultural diversity that's happening across the state. So that is one required way in which to measure integration, racial integration. The other is through the use of school safety and student engagement and connection requirements, surveying requirements that exist in statute. And then districts would be required to use an additional data set that they can choose from. And the choices are student progress toward career and college readiness as defined in statute, rigorous coursework also as defined in statute, or school enrollment choices. And that speaks to the issue of some school districts like mine, for instance, uses a heavy magnet school program in order to create more integrated learning environments. You flip it over, we get into the evaluation piece. Commissioner must evaluate the efficacy of each district's plan. And then we get into the revenue, achievement and revenue. We didn't address all the revenue components that are in the side-by-side because the formula and the distribution is really going to be subject to kind of our bigger agreement on what we do with finances. But there are some things here that that come from the task force's work that we want, that we found easy agreement with. One is that in each year, 0.2% of the district's revenue will be transferred to the department for oversight and accountability services activities. This was a big issue with the legislative auditor's report from many years ago that this program suffered from really minimal, and quite frankly, in some years, none. No oversight at the department. And part of that is because we had, over the years, taken revenue appropriations away from the department, and they didn't have staff to be able to do that work. The district... Then the next section talks about what happens if districts don't achieve their goals. And basically, remember, these are goals that the districts themselves are submitting. If they don't meet those goals based on the evaluation that the commissioner conducts, then the district must submit a two-year improvement plan to achieve those goals. And then we have a roll call coming. Yep.
Okay.
We're almost done.
Court recess.
What's that? Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
To a couple tests.
Mr. Chair and members, Jim Grathwell with the Minneapolis Public Schools. I just found out I didn't have one of the documents in my hand. So first, it's been difficult to engross all this on the fly. So I'm not going to report that I have a crystal clear grasp. I've seen some of these pieces before, and of course we've seen both bills before. And I want to congratulate this conference committee in the House and the Senate on advancing this discussion over the past year. And it's been, as the commissioner said, a much better discussion this biennium than last biennium on improving and holding us accountable. I want to stress what I think Kirk Schneiderwin said earlier around the chair's language on improving or getting the best workforce. If you don't think our school boards and our superintendents don't have first and foremost in their mind every morning when they wake up how to close the achievement gap, you know, I'd invite you to come visit us and look at the work we're doing in our schools. Our strategic plans are aligned to all that. So we're in this workforce piece and in this integration piece, we're trying to hold ourselves more accountable. I want to disabuse you of any notion that we don't appreciate being more accountable, but I also want to let you know we don't have complete control over inputs and outputs. We don't have 30 kids entering kindergarten, progressing to first grade, second and beyond. We have great variability and great movement. We appreciate and I keep going back to the one fact that I'll just drop here again. By December 31st of 2012, we had identified 4,140 homeless, highly mobile students in the city of Minneapolis. We're delivering half of those students to other districts in the near metropolitan area. So that's a Willmar, that's a Moorhead. I'm not sure half of that might be Brooklyn Center. So this has been, this debate has advanced the work we're doing around integration. I especially appreciate the language here about revisiting the rule and looking at updating that, because the policy we have in statute has to match the policy in rule, and the policy we have in rule is outdated and doesn't reflect the current reality. I want to, on the 20% piece, Senator, I want to speak to the fact that our experience around setting up reserves and set-asides through NCLB, through the 20% set-aside of Title I resources, when we turned and pivoted to the private sector and asked the private sector to come and, as an example, to come and help us close the achievement gap, it turns out they didn't have, over here, you're now the private sector, they didn't have a magic wand that got the job done. We researched what they did. It turns out nobody does. But I tell you, and I'll tell you, if we had the best teacher on every evaluation in the best school with the best curriculum and all the right assessments that were aligned to standards and curriculum, and if that student's homeless or physically, emotionally, or sexually abused, we're not going to get there with just what the tools that you give us. I just want to be clear about that. And that's not an excuse. That's reality. Because kids who come to school hungry or don't know where their home is going to be that night or have safety issues and are experiencing post-traumatic stress, it's a different, you know, we don't live in that world, and it's a world that our teachers live and work with every day. So digressing a little bit, but that piece about accountability or when you take resources away because goals haven't been met, it'd be, if I lived in a world where I could prevent my students, our students, from being experiencing so many of the traumas they do, I think I'd get behind that a little bit more. I haven't seen it be successful in that NCLB context, and I'm happy to be held accountable for producing better results. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, we'll take a quick recess.